the previous chart.
He looks a little like that.
I've heard that.
I just have to grow a mustache.
I did some photoshopping on this that shows some of the things we thought Larry had in his computer, but I won't show it.
Bob Feldman said I could be with him. I would work for a pastor that I was a young Larry Badner.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll call to order this special zoning administrator hearing for notice of for service station conversion determinations, Friday, March 18th, 2011, 10 a.m. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, and we'll be conducting this hearing. So, very formal, as you can see. So, we have project sponsor 5 minutes to present their case, and any members of the public here to speak on the item will be given 3 minutes to speak. And if there is any opposition, you have 3 minute rebuttal. So, with that, begin the item. So actually, if you read the record, the case number 2008.1395U, 1501 15th Street, service station conversion determination.
David Silverman, appearing on behalf of the project sponsor. I'd just like to say thank you for scheduling the hearing this morning. We're glad to finally move the project along after a number of years. And we'll submit the case on the papers.
So some questions about the history, if you could tell me when, as my understanding, it's actually already been converted and was in use illegally as a parking lot. So give me some background on the history.
Well, my involvement with this piece of land goes back some period of time, maybe 5 years, 6 years. The owner at that time came to me and wanted to put in a car wash. And we filed a conditional use. And we went to the Planning Commission. Actually, it may have been a permitted use, but it required a Planning Commission hearing for some reason. I can't remember why exactly. But we went to the commission, and even though it was a permitted use there, the car wash, the commission turned it down and said, we don't want a car wash, we want a residential building. So go away and come back when you have a residential building. And there were a lot of neighbors who showed up at the hearing too, and they also wanted a residential building. No one wanted a car wash. So the property just sat there for a while, and then the owner met Sean, and they got together, and Sean is a residential developer, and they got an architect, did a design, submitted it for residential building. The gas station's actually been closed for about 6 years, and I had no knowledge of any parking myself, but when Kimberly mentioned it to me, I told the owner about it, and I told him only to use it for just himself and his employees. And I understand he's doing that now.
So the site itself is no longer in use, so?
It's no longer in use.
Right? Who are the employees then?
He has a car wash and a gas station down the street.
Okay, so it's providing off-site community commercial parking, essentially, for the—
For his employees.
Can I comment on something you said real quick? I don't seem to recall the neighbors or the commission directing residential as their preferred use. I seem to recall there was opposition from neighbors from the noise and impacts of having a car wash in close proximity to an existing residential neighborhood, but I don't remember any neighbors saying, give us market rate housing.
Okay. Well, we could get a transcript of the hearing.
I'm sure some planning commissioners may have said that, but I don't believe that the commission has to.
They didn't direct.
They didn't direct, right. So there may have been some comments on that, but I don't believe the neighbors were the commission took affirmative steps to drive in that direction.
Okay.
Well, just to clarify, they didn't adopt a formal resolution, but most of the commissioners, and I can't identify who they were, but my recollection of the hearing is that most of them said, we don't want car wash, we want residential.
What year was this?
This is probably 5 years ago.
So
it was during the old zoning, right?
It's different. We did not hear the previous item before Eastern Neighbors went into effect.
Were you at the hearing?
I wasn't at the hearing, but I had neighbors who were, you know, planning commissioners related to what.
And it's a different planning commission, right, from that to now, and any future project will be brought to the commission. I understand
right.
that the project that's currently on file will require a CU, I believe, and
right.
be before the planning commission.
Right.
In the next CU for parking?
Well, the entitlement for that, was it a 329 or a CU?
It's 329.
So, sorry, a 329, so the exception.
Which is the Eastern Neighbors Large Project Review?
Yeah.
Exactly. So that'll be before the commission for them to make a determination on, they can weigh in on what they feel is an appropriate replacement project. Okay. And so can you go, there's two things that I'd like to hear a bit more about. First, the financial performance, and we're in receipt of a letter dated February 23, 2011 from Son & Son, certified public accountants, with the statement that really this is no longer financially feasible as per the requirements allowed in section 228.4 of the planning code. So can you go a little bit into the economic history of the site?
Yeah, the gas station started losing money in the early 2000s. The accountant examined the books and records for 04 and 05 when there were losses, and it was closed in the beginning of 06. The code looks at the two-year period prior to the date of closure, which is 04 and 05, when there were losses for both years. So by definition of the code says anything less than a 9% return is considered eligible to close. And this one had less than zero. They had negative returns.
And, so
and it's been closed ever since and not used for anything.
This was an independent?
Yes.
Guest
yes.
station provider?
Yeah.
And then, really? So, thank you for that response. And another question regarding the underground storage tanks. It's my understanding in 2006, three 10,000-gallon underground storage tanks were removed from the project site. And the Department of Public Health issued a closure letter
right.
for the former gas station.
We have the closure.
So that's all been
it's all been done.
Right. So with that, we can maybe just go into some general public comment.
Yeah, I've lived in the community for about 22 years, both on Julian Avenue and now on Adair Street. And over that time, there's been a lot of changes in the community.
Sorry, say your name for the record.
Mark Solomon.
Thank you.
On Adair Street. I think the problem here is that we're having a hearing right now at 10 in the morning, which means that most neighbors can't make it here. And that's part of a continuing pattern where our community has been excluded from Eastern neighborhoods. Supervisor Daly was conflicted out of Eastern neighborhoods, so we had no one at the table. Mr. Rich did not contact anyone, and I mean anyone in our community, to have any input on the land use changes. I asked Mr. Rich, who he contacted, about the North Mission. His response was SPUR and the Housing Action Coalition. Now, I don't believe Mr. Metcalf or Mr. Cullen was anywhere near our neighborhood. Mr. Cullen is in a single family home up on Mount Davidson and is urging densification by transit corridors. So what I'm seeing is a land grab in the North Mission. It's an established neighborhood. It's more than 100 years old immediately post-quake. And the fact that we're not at the table means that other folks are driving this and there's no community buy-in for this. Folks at the Marshall School are really upset because we're seeing about 100 and some odd parking spaces slated for the community. It's going to run right down 15th Street where those kids are going to school every morning. And there is a problem here in transit-oriented development that when this does move towards residential use, the transit system is being disinvested in significantly. The regional transit network is nowhere near capable of handling any sort of real-time loads of getting folks from the North Mission to job centers around the Bay Area. The average one-way commute time is 90 minutes. So people that are making the kind of money to service the kind of notes that we're seeing here are not going to be spending 3 hours in commute. They're going to get in their cars, or possibly in shuttle buses. But that doesn't serve all the job sites. We also have to note that since the beginning of this year, January 1st, there were 1,050 homes in San Francisco in foreclosure. I just checked right now, there's 1,240 homes in foreclosure. We don't know what the horizon of each one of those homes in foreclosure is. But I really see a problem here where government is adding more supply onto a really uncertain economic financing framework where you're actually taking folks and forcing them to economic ruin. And for every one that's in foreclosure, you're looking at some multiple of that is being pushed underwater. I really think the government needs to take a breather right now and really see if the predicates upon which this directed zoning was conceived on, there was an outcome, and anyone who didn't agree with the outcome was excluded. And the outcome was densification near BART and near the freeway. It happened to be within the same distance of BART station as the freeway for this project. So there's no real indication it's going to serve those needs. And we're seeing a lot of negative effects here. So no one loves auto service in the areas, but there are economic and environmental impacts on taking all auto service areas away from the mission. Where do folks go then to get their cars fixed until we have transit that can handle that load? Will they be driving to Brisbane? Will they be driving to the Bayview? How many trips are we going to be setting up there? So I think that we need to put a hold on the Eastern neighborhoods densification near these transit areas and freeway ramps, especially near the school parking, until we can get a real community-based planning process for Supervisor Kim, who lives in a rental unit right there, and it's not conflicted. And she can help lead the community with active stakeholders into a land use pattern that meets the needs of the community at part. We don't want to control the process, but we were not at the table, we were excluded from the table. As we're excluded from this hearing, it's in the middle of the work. I'm a contractor doing software, so I can just come here and not get paid, but most folks don't have that freedom. So I really think that we should put this on hold, not make it any easier to move towards adding one-to-one parking by the Marshall School until we have some kind of commitment from the department and board supervisors to really reassess this. I was at a Sierra Club meeting this week where they consensed on a motion that said they expressed serious concerns about locating TOD-style densification bonuses near freeway ramps without significant reductions in parking, like 0.1-to-1 is what they were talking about. Right, you're doing 1-to-1 at this parcel, that's just not...
It's not 1-to-1.
That's the last plan I saw was 1-to-1. So we're looking at, you know, significant impacts on a very, very at-risk neighborhood that's already taken 16th Street BART overflow. Right, we're in a poor neighborhood, that's cool, but we're not getting any help on dealing with any of the impacts. And we're just throwing more impacts here. And frankly, if the neighborhood wasn't 60% Latino and didn't have any knowledge of planning, this wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't see this in a neighborhood with a developed community association. And I really think that there's economic, race, and class issues here on why our neighborhood is being targeted with this kind of housing.
Thank you for your comments. I just want to address the issue about the hearing. And under Section 228, it's these hearings are to be conducted at kind of the same standards as we would for a variance hearing. Variance hearings are usually held on Wednesday mornings at 9:30 a.m. We have the same public notice as we would for a variance hearing. So, you know, this is standard for our hearing process. I hear your concerns, and we did receive an email from yesterday, I believe, from a member of the public who had concerns about the project, expressed that they would not be able to attend because of their work schedules. And, you know, we always will take their written comment in as well if people cannot attend the hearing. So we will listen to all those comments. The comments that I did hear from you relate largely to the replacement project, which is not subject to this hearing and would be subject to a future hearing by the Planning Commission. Would have the ultimate ability to make those decisions on parking, on the density, on those issues related to the project.
It's more on the change of use. It's more on the zoning for the new use and how we shouldn't be going there. So the idea that we've changed zoning without getting community buy-in means that this change of use is not really legitimated in the eyes of the community. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I appreciate those comments, and you know, unfortunately, it's beyond the scope of what this hearing is for, but I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your concerns, and that's something that will be on the record of this hearing, and any future hearings that may occur on the site as well, you'll be available to attend. So, would you like to respond, Mr. Silverman?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Mr. Solomon for coming to this hearing. We're always interested in getting input from the neighbors. Just a couple of things I wanted to respond to. First of all, on the government adding more supply, the government's not involved in this project. This is a private project. It's privately owned property. The builder is right here, Mr. Sullivan. So there's no involvement by the government. that was just an error. Secondly, on the notice issue, the site was posted and all the mailings went out. The planner can attest to that. So all the normal code notices were given. I believe one person contacted you, as the zoning administrator stated. So people apparently did receive the notice. And I'd like to respond to your comment that you're excluded. I see you're sitting there. So apparently you're not excluded. As far as the zoning, I believe there were, 30 or 40 public hearings at least on the eastern neighborhoods rezoning at the Planning Commission, the Board of Supervisors, et cetera, et cetera. If it didn't come out the way that you did, that you would have preferred, I'm sorry, but what I would recommend that you do is maybe petition your supervisor, because that's not anything that can be addressed in this type of hearing. The zoning is the zoning. You know, it was, debated for 5 or 6 years before it took place. So to come here and say that it's not legitimate because you don't like it, you're saying it's not legitimate in the eyes of the community. I don't know who appointed you to speak for the community. The zoning is what it is. If you don't like the zoning, you should go talk to the Board of Supervisors, but that's not, you know, something that's being decided at this hearing. And I think the record should reflect that. This is not an open forum for people to voice their feelings of exclusion or whatever it is after 100 public hearings.
I disagree with that. This is a public forum, and this is public comment, and he has the right to say.
Okay.
Well, I respond to this personal stuff here, please. This is like not about the issue, it's about me. And I need to respond to that.
But I do take some offense to, I think that, yeah, that your
completely unacceptable
comments were, I would interpret as a slight personal attack. And I mean, I don't want to get into a debate here, but if you just really maybe quickly like to respond for 30 seconds.
Who in this room is being paid to be here? Can you please raise your hands? Please, who's being paid to be in this room right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, we have an elected system in this country where it's democracy. Occasionally, elected officials are conflicted out because they own property within a radius of a planning area. In this case, our supervisor, Chris Daly, who represented 80,000 San Franciscans, was not able to represent us when his entire district was rezoned. He was out of Market Octavia, and he was out of Eastern neighborhoods. That was not a mistake, because Supervisor Daly had a land use component to his governance that did not jive with the planning department's desired outcomes. Okay? There were hearings, but like I said, this department is in regulatory capture. And we have a department in regulatory capture. That means that government is deciding that it wants to entitle more market rate housing. Government passes zoning laws, they pass entitlements, they have hearings at the planning department. This is a governmental action. You wouldn't be able to build crap without governmental approval.
Okay. Good. Just wanted to give you a little bit of time
Thank
to respond.
You. So, I mean, let's not go here and say that.
Okay. Mr. Silverman, do you have some questions, even though this is not a hearing about the replacement project? A member of the public has brought up concerns about the replacement project, and we have the description as a 58-foot tall, five-story, 66,000 square foot mixed-use building consisting of 40 residential units with 16 one-bedroom and 24 two-bedroom units, approximately 9,600 square feet of ground floor commercial use, and providing 39 off-street parking spaces. What is the affordable component going to be of the building under the zoning?
There was no height limit increase in this project, so we didn't gain in the traditional sense the BMR component of the planning code increased if you got an increase in your floor height. But this project didn't.
How will you be satisfying the affordability requirements?
Are you going to do it on site?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. It's on site.
On site BMR.
And the 39 parking spaces. Were those going to be all for the residential units, or were they also be for the commercial use?
The commercial use is very minor.
Yeah, there is parking for commercial allocated for the owners of the commercial. That's not for customers of the retail.
Have you considered alternatives that would provide fewer parking spaces?
Why would we do that?
It's have you done that? That's a yes or no answer.
Well, most normal people need a car and they need a place to store it.
Yes or no?
Have we considered, providing less parking spaces? Is that your question? Yes, we have, but based on our cost and building an entire basement level in the garage, we were able to fit in the number of parking spaces that we could. So.
And you'd also be providing required bicycle parking.
Yes, it's all designed in the.
Is that affordable at 12, 17, 15%? What's the?
This is at 15%. What is it?
I actually haven't reviewed the proposed project. That was environmental.
It would comply with the current requirements of Section 415.
I believe it's either 15 or 20.
Yeah.
And the parking ingress that can be on 15th Street or Van Ness.
That's also something that until we actually have a project filed, we won't know.
We only have the environmental review at this point in time. We don't have a building permit or
that's correct.
A 329 case filed.
For this case? 329
spot. Is environmental review then considering the impacts from parking on 15th Street or on South Van Ness? Or both?
Did you close the building for
traffic impacts?
Not yet.
The numbers
there. We're traffic on our neighborhood right now, and there was indication that cutting 15th Street down to one lane
all the way from South Van Ness to Mission
with an LLS fee
at
MENA Mission.
Have you reviewed the environmental determinations? Okay, we can provide.
Don Lewis from the environmental did it both on South Van Ness and 15th Street as far as the environmental review for parking.
There is a 329 filed. I can send you that if you don't have it.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the. But maybe you can answer is what street is parking going to be accessed from?
15th Street.
15th Street.
Okay. That's going to be a showstopper.
And we don't have a hearing scheduled for the 329 yet.
Not yet.
But when do you anticipate moving?
We're forward? Ready. Okay. So we'd like to go ahead as soon as possible.
When did you file it?
6 or 9 months ago.
I checked with Julia.
And so currently the commission calendar is full through May, so I think June would be the earliest that the item can be heard, but okay.
But no building permit application is
filed. Well, we have a building permit number, but they're waiting for some fees.
Right. So which means that we don't have a set of plans.
It hasn't been filed.
Well, that's what we could understood that if there's no stake in the ground, how do we?
We can. We'll take care of that. So you can do both at the same time. You can send out the notices at the same time.
Yes. Is there a statutory limit on the time that these documents are made available for the plan and the time the commission can have a hearing, or is it like they could get? In a perfect world, they could file plans and have a hearing next week.
Oh, no.
I assume there's no backlog.
Yeah, I mean, we have the backlog. We have the hearing requirements. So, I mean, you know, the quickest you could have a hearing would be after all the notification requirements have been met. But also the commission over the next few months is considering many large projects, so we've pushed out new projects till June, the earliest.
Can you choose a date in June?
But that's something that Mr. Arday is going to need to discuss with Julian Vanalis, our team leader, to see exactly where this project fits in the queue.
Okay.
Because it's not subject to any priority processing, my knowledge, because I don't think it meets any of our requirements for priority processing. So with that, I would close the public.
Yeah, I mean, one thing. I would just say that the entire reason why they included residential in UMU proximate to BART stations was because they wanted to do TOD. And when we're seeing this stuff happening right within a block and a half apart, and you know the significant impacts EIR demonstrated on the 14, the 49, 22, and the 33, that this is a serious problem here in converting to this use, it's just going to exacerbate the death spiral we need.
Right.
And that's serious.
Well, second. Close the public hearing on this item, and going to take the matter under advisement at this point. I still want to get verification that any parking issues have been addressed with the lot, so we have a lot that's in compliance before the determination letter is issued. Also, I would, this is ultimately a decision for the Planning Commission, but I would advise you that it would be prudent to have some alternatives perhaps available for the Commission to consider with reduced parking. I'm think that there, those are questions that they would ask, so I would be prepared to have complete answers as to why you need that required amount of parking. It's an advisement. And so that is all. Thank you.